From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Councillor Sunak warns a tough time for UK's economy. President prioritizing economic stimulus for MSMEs. Now the news in details. There's a new warning that the coronavirus pandemic will have a devastating impact on the UK's economy. The Office for Budgetary Responsibility, the government's independent economic watchdog, says that if the lockdown lasts for 3 months, the economy could shrink by 35% and unemployment could rise to 10%, meaning 2 million people would be out of work. Nuka Kusumawati has the details. A forecast by the UK's tax and spending watchdog suggests the coronavirus crisis will have serious implications for the UK's economy, Councillor Rishi Sunak has said. The Office for Budget Responsibility, or OBR, warned the pandemic could see the economy shrink by a record 35% on June. Sunak stressed that the forecast was only one possible scenario. However, he said that while the government could not protect every business and household, they came into this crisis with a fundamentally sound economy, powered by the hard work and ingenuity of the British people and British businesses.
These are tough times, and there will be more to come. But we came into this crisis with a fundamentally sound economy. I also, when I see these numbers, deeply troubled. And as I've, I think, consistently said when I've been at this podium and elsewhere, you know, this is going to be hard. Our economy is going to take a significant hit. And as I've said before, that's not an abstract thing. People are going to feel that in their jobs and in their household incomes. Your point about a generation, no, I very much hope that the measures we've put in place will allow us to do exactly as the OBR have said, bounce back.
Meanwhile, Robert Cott of the Office for Budget Responsibility, OBR, said that a three-month lockdown followed by 3 months of partial restrictions would trigger an economic decline of 35.1% in the quarter to June alone, following growth of 0.2% in the first 3 months of this year. A drop of this magnitude would be the largest in living memory.
If you were to see the sort of decline in GDP that we think would be consistent with a three-month lockdown, then you wouldn't have seen a quarterly fall in the economy like that in living memory. The hope, though, is that that is going to be a temporary rather than a permanent problem and that we don't end up scarring the long-term potential of the economy.
While the UK's economy would contract by 12.8% this year under this scenario, it is expected to get back to its pre-crisis growth trend by the end of 2020. The OBR stressed that actual amount of growth will depend on how long the lockdown lasted, as well as how quickly activity bounced back once restrictions were relaxed. In any case, it expects half of any sharp drop in growth in the second quarter to be reversed in the 3 months to September as the economy starts to recover. President Joko Widodo is giving priority to economic stimulus for micro, small and medium enterprises, which contribute 60% of the gross domestic product's GDP and employ 97% of the people. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Minister of Cooperative and SMEs Teten Mas Duki on Wednesday in Jakarta stated that based on the president's instruction, economic stimulus is being prioritized for MSMEs because this sector contributes to 60% of the GDP and employs up to 97%. The stimulus policy is directed at MSMEs because 99% of business operators in Indonesia are engaged in the MSME sector. And the majority of such enterprises are micro businesses. Therefore, Teta noted, President Joko Widodo has requested that the MSME's loan restructuring program be expanded. Government spokesman for COVID-19 handling Ahmad Yuryanto during the daily press briefing on COVID-19 announced on Wednesday that 10 Indonesian cities and districts has enacted the large-scale social distancing PSBB protocols to contain the coronavirus transmission. As stated by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, Jakarta is the first area to have adopted such measures, followed by Bogor City, Bogor District, Depok City, Bekasi District, Tangerang City, Tangerang District, and South Tangerang City, which are all neighboring the capital, as well as Pekanbaru City. The government urged people to abide by the PSBB guidelines, including limiting their social activities in public and maintaining a distance of 2 meters between one another. Indonesia reported a total of 5,136 confirmed positive cases for coronavirus infections after testing through the real-time PCR method on 11,165 patients under surveillance until April 15. The International Energy Agency, IEA, stated on Wednesday that the coronavirus outbreak will slash global oil demand in 2020 to erase a decade of growth and set up the worst year in the history of the sector. As quoted by AFP.com, demand is projected to plummet by a record 9.3 million barrels per day for the year as a whole, with 29 million barrels per day in the month of April and 26 million barrels per day in May. Staggering numbers, International Energy Agency IEA on Wednesday believes in a few years' time when you look at 2020, the people may well see that it was the worst year in the history of global oil markets. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. South Korean voters turned out in force Wednesday to back President Moon Jae-in's handling of the coronavirus pandemic, putting on compulsory face masks and gloves to give his Democratic Party a parliamentary majority, according to exit polls. As quoted by AFP.com, South Korea was among the first countries with a major virus outbreaks to hold a national election since the global pandemic began. And a raft of safety measures were in place around the vote. Turnout was the biggest for a generation, and an exit poll by a national broadcaster, KBS, projected the ruling Democratic Party and a sister organization will take between 155 and 178 places in the 300-seat National Assembly. It predicted the main opposition's United Front Party and its sister grouping will take between 107 and 130 seats. Voters in obligatory masks lined up at least 1 meter apart outside polling station and had their temperatures checked before being allowed in. Global efforts to join forces against the coronavirus faltered Wednesday after Donald Trump froze funding for the World Health Organization, igniting a chorus of criticism from world leaders who urged solidarity in the face of the crippling economic crisis. As quoted by AFP.com, the U.S. president's shock move came as a patchwork of countries experiment with loosening lockdown measures, ushering the planet into a new and uncertain phase of a pandemic that has killed more than 125,000 people worldwide and infected at least 2 million. In Europe, Denmark became the first country on the badly hit continent to start reopening schools, while Finland lifted a travel blockade on the Helsinki region. Italy and Spain have also allowed some businesses to restart after signs both are finally flattening the curve following weeks of punishing death tolls. Nations belonging to the G20 group of leading economies have agreed to suspend debt payments owed to them by some of the world's poorest countries. As quoted by BBC.com, the agreement covers money that is due to be paid to G20 governments up to the end of 2020. The aim is to help countries deal with the health and economic impacts of the coronavirus pandemic. The Jubilee Debt Campaign Group has described the move as a first step, but called for much more. The UK-based charity estimates that the delay will be covered $12 billion or €9.6 billion of payments. But it is only a delay, and the campaign group understand that the payment will instead have to be made between 2022 and 2024, along with interest accrued in the meantime. Listener, that was the news. I'm Niko Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Here is commentary for today, entitling Prisoner Released in COVID-19 Pandemic. Amid COVID-19 pandemic, prison becomes a risky place. Many prisons in various countries, including Indonesia, deem uninhabitable because of overcapacity. This excessive capacity makes both inmates and staffs susceptible to COVID-19. Moreover, the inmates are frequently placed in unhygienic places and without proper medical facilities. Physical distancing is impossible to be implemented in the overcrowded prison. United Nations have even urged governments to release low-risk prisoners. Many countries then had released the prisoners. In Indonesia, government had released 36,554 adult and child prisoners across the country through assimilations and integration program related to COVID-19. Assimilation is fostering adult and child inmate by allowing them to blend in among the people, while integration is releasing inmates who had fulfilled requirements to have parole, conditional leave, and leave ahead of release. Such decision became polemic in the public after many hoaxes were distributed among the people. False information said many ex-cons do crime again right after being released. People were asked not to believe such hoax. It is because, according to the data from Law and Human Rights Ministry, until now, there are only 12 ex-cons who do crime again from the total 36,554 released inmates. People need not to worry too much if there are some recidivists who re-offend. Law and Human Rights Ministry had instructed that the inmates who re-offend after release will be given heavy penalty. According to criminologist Leopold Sudaryono, re-offense by ex-inmate commonly happens in some countries. He also explained that based on data in 2020, recidivist index is 0.05%. It decreased compared to last year. People need to support the prisoner release through COVID-19 assimilation and integration by accepting them back among the people. People need to understand that releasing prisoner was the final choice to minimize COVID-19 spread in prison. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on April 16, 1917, when Vladimir Lenin returned to Petrograd from exile in Finland. April 16, 1917 is a historic date that changed the face of Europe and the world. On that date, Vladimir Lenin, leader of the Bolshevik Party, returned to Russia after a decade of living in exile. Returning to Russia, Lenin led a revolution that successfully established the first Marxist state in the world and formed a new entity called the Soviet Union. Born as the name of Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov in 1870, he was dragged into a revolution after his brother was executed in 1887 for being involved in a plot to assassinate Tsar Alexander III. Next event is that in 1952, Kopassus Special Forces Command was established. When it was first established on April 16, 1952, Kopassus Special Forces Command and called the Army Command Unit Territorium 3 Siliwangi. It was initiated by Colonel Kawilarang, who longed for a special force command unit that could move swiftly and quickly. It had changed the name for several times, such as from the Army Command Corps, Army Command Force Regiment, Army Special Forces Center, Sandi Yuda Forces Command. Starting December 26, 1986, this elite force was officially named the Special Forces Command, or Kopassus. The last event is that in 2007, there was the Virginia Tech Massacre. The Virginia Tech Massacre occurred at two separate shootings carried out by a 23-year-old student. Cho Seong-hui at the Virginia Polytechnic and State University Institute, Blacksburg, Virginia, United States on April 16, 2007. The number of casualties, according to government officials and the university, reached 32 people along with the shooter. This tragedy made the bloodiest civil shooting event in the history of the United States. One of the casualties came from Indonesia, namely Partahi Mamora Halomuan from Medan, North Sumatra, a doctoral student at the Faculty of Civil Engineering. That was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kita jalan berdua, bergandengan tangan, tapi tak jadian. Kita nonton berduaan, dan makan malam, tetap tak jadian. Ini nasib yang mengenaskan, harus terjadi lagi. Bukan mau suzon, tapi orang bilang itu friendzone. Malam telepon-teleponan, hingga pagi datang, tetap tak jadian. Sudah banyak perhatian, juga kesempatan, masih tak jadian. Tidakkah cukup yang engkau lihat, pertemanan ini sungguh berat. Tapi tidak di mimpi saja.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Indonesia's losses reaching 132 trillion rupiah in 2015 due to climate change. Indonesia has a fairly high vulnerability to the effects of climate change, and its estimated economic loss will reach 132 trillion rupiah in 2015. This was stated by the head of Fiscal Policy Agency, the Ministry of Finance, Febrio Nathan Kacaribu, in Jakarta on Tuesday, April 14. Febrio said, the vulnerability was reflected through an increase in Indonesia's Global Climate Risk Index, or CRI, over the past two decades. The estimation made by USAID in 2016 showed that the value of economic losses in 2050 due to ecological disasters reached 132 trillion rupiah, or the equivalent of 1.4% of Indonesia's gross domestic product GDP at that time. Febrio added, saying the increasing risk of climate change that affecting various aspects of people's life, the Indonesian government has made effort to control climate change, including actively contributing on the negotiations and reaching agreements at the global level. Indonesia is one of the countries that ratified the Kyoto Protocol in 2004 and the Paris Agreement in 2016. Indonesia's commitment in the two agreements gave birth to mitigation efforts of climate change on a national scale, namely the National Action Plan for Reducing Greenhouse Gas Emissions in 2011 and Nationally Determined Contribution in 2016. Indonesia is committed to reducing the level of greenhouse gas emissions from the business as usual, or BAU, level by 26% by 2020 and 29% by 2030 on its own efforts, or 41% if it gets international assistance. In addition to the emissions reduction efforts, Indonesia is also committed to increase resilience to climate change. Head of the Center for Climate Change Financing and Fiscal Policy Multilateral Agency of the Ministry of Finance, Adi Budiarso, said that in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, the government needs to pay attention to scientists' thoughts on climate change. Adi Budiarso added, in Indonesia, the increasing concentration of greenhouse gas emissions usually causes an increase in global temperature. It is even predicted, if Indonesia does not do something, the warming will exceed 1.5 Celsius degrees. There were 3,678 hydrometeorological disasters in Indonesia during 2019 related to the climate. However, only 37 disaster events, or only 1%, were not related to climate. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you. dan ketiga kamu lucu. Aku tak pernah dengar kabarmu sampai kamu kembali. I want you here in my heart. Hope you'll understand. I want you here in my heart. Here in my heart.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce you to Rana Lake in Maluku. Stay tuned. Rana Lake is the biggest lake in Maluku province and more visited by tourists who love challenging adventure. The lake is located precisely in the hinterland of Buru Island, at an altitude of about 700 meters above sea level. The lake is considered sacred by local people of Buru Island. According to their belief, the ancestors of gods lived in Tanggal or Mountain and Rana Lake. According to the people, Tanggal and Rana were reincarnation of the ancestors. So, worship toward the ancestors also means worship to Tanggal and Rana. You can go around Rana Lake by using boat while enjoying the beauty of the lake. You can also visit hamlets surrounding the lake, namely Wamamboli, Kaktuan, Erdava, Waru Jua, Waimite, Wagrahi, and Wairiman hamlets. At those hamlets, you can enjoy typical culinaries of the region, which are eaten with roasted fish, and Cholo Cholo, a typical condiment of Maluku. Along the trip to Rana Lake, you will pass many hamlets, which are occupied by the native people of Buru Island. At those hamlets, you will be presented by Sawat dance as a sign of welcome ceremony for guests. During the trip, you will see beautiful natural scenery where you can find various kinds of plants. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Rana Lake in Maluku. Thank you for listening.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on ITS students to prevent COVID-19 outbreak. There are many ways which can be done to call on people in a bid to decrease coronavirus disease 2019 COVID-19 outbreak. One of them is conducted by Visual Communication Design Department of 10 November Technology Institute by challenging its students to make illustration work with themes Solidarity Against COVID-19. The works of 58 students are also published through social media on Instagram. Therefore, the works can be enjoyed and inspire many people to assist in preventing COVID-19 outbreak. Rabendra Yudhistira Alamin, a lecturer of the Institute, said that the idea to make illustration work on COVID-19 began when health office of East Java province needs new innovation to educate the community, especially socialization against COVID-19. Thereby, he initiated to use the students' illustration works as educational media. One of the students of Visual Communication Design Department of 10 November Technology Institute, Adik Saputra, said that this illustration work is based on anxiety towards teenagers' behavior in Indonesia who are not aware on COVID-19 outbreak. It is proven by many youth who feel to be not infected with the virus. The concept of his work adjusts to teenagers' life with has semi-romantic theme by using attractive colors and language which is easy to be understood. Similar with Adek, Dandi Anugrah Cahyadi also explained that his illustration work has a form of serialized story entitled A Journey to Against COVID-19. The story tells about efforts which can be conducted by someone to defeat the virus. Certainly, the story aims that the messages which are conveyed are more interactive and they target to all communities. Rabendra hopes the illustration works of Visual Communication Design Department of 10 November Technology Institute can be appreciated by people, and this positive message can give positive influences. He wants to take a major role optimally by conveying positive message through visual language. That was our segment Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present you a jazz song by Nunung Wardiman. Nunung Wardiman, a singer who was born in Surabaya, is known as one of the best female jazz singers in Indonesia. Her name became too famous since she released two series of albums, Nada dan Improvisasi, in 1981. Nunung Wardiman also presented many songs that had been popular before, such as Layu Sebelum Berkembang. The song, which was composed by Arianto, has been known and sung by Teti Kadi and a duet of Bruri Marantika, Emilia Contessa. The song tells a story of relationship between a couple lovers that must fail before they feel happiness. The story like a flower which withered before it bloom. Now let's listen to the song Layu Sebelum Berkembang in a jazz genre by Nunung Wardiman. Enjoy the song.
Hatiku hancur mengenang dia, berkeping-keping janjinya. Kini air mata jatuh bercucuran. Tiada lagi harapan. Tiada seindah waktu itu, dunia berseri-seri. Malam bagai siang, seterang hatiku, penuh harapan denganmu. Kini hancur berderang, kepedihan berantai, kunci di hatiku yang lama ku simpan hancur kini sebelum berkembang. Mengapa ini harus terjadi di tengah kebahagiaan? Ingin ku rasakan lebih lama lagi hidup bersama denganmu. Waktu itu dunia berseri-seri, malam bagai siang, seterang hatiku, penuh harapan denganmu. Kini hancur berderang, di hatiku yang lama ku simpan hancur kini sebelum berkembang. Mengapa ini harus terjadi di tengah kebahagiaan? Ingin ku rasakan lebih lama lagi hidup bersama denganmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kota selalu teringat padamu. Saat kita akan berpisah, entah untuk berapa lama. Walau senja berganti, wajahmu selalu terbayang. Waktu engkau ku lepaskan, berdebar hati di dada. Tidak dapat ku lupakan peristiwa kisah ini. Engkau di seberang sana menunaikan tugasmu. Senja di batas kota, terlukis di dalam kalbu. Hanya bila kau kembali, hidupku akan bahagia. Wajahmu selalu terbayang waktu engkau kulepaskan, berdebar hati di dada. Tiada dapat kulupakan peristiwa kisah ini. Engkau di seberang sana di batas kota, terlukis di dalam kalbu. Hanya bila kau kembali, hidupku akan bahagia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Jauh dari wanita yang dulu membuatku jauh. jatuh cinta. Siapa yang telah merubahmu untuk meninggalkanku? Bila engkau harus pergi, tinggalkan saja ku sendiri. Jangan bilang masih cinta, kau hanya membuatku menangis. Untuk apa bilang sayang, buat hatiku makin susah. Pergilah kasih, pergi saja, biar aku sakit sendiri.
Oh, oh, oh. Walaupun harus berpisah, takkan ku lupakan engkau yang pernah ada di dalam hidupku. Oh, oh, tak mungkin aku memaksa kalau memang cinta telah sirna. Mungkin ini yang terbaik. Bila engkau harus pergi, tinggalkan saja ku sendiri. Jangan bilang masih cinta. Kau hanya membuatku menangis. Untuk apa bilang sayang, buat hatiku makin susah. Pergilah kasih, pergi saja, biar aku sakit sendiri.
Bila engkau harus pergi, tinggalkan saja ku sendiri. Jangan bilang masih cinta. Kau hanya membuatku menangis. Untuk apa bilang sayang, buat hatiku makin susah. Pergi kasih, pergi saja, biar aku sakit sendiri.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening. But stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.